this thing over here. It's good to see you all here this evening. Thank you for coming. We are here tonight because many years ago, Jesus embraced, without shrinking back, a cross. Lord, thank you so much for this evening. Tonight we are here to remember what you have done for us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you embraced the cross and you took upon yourself our sins, our sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that for the joy that was set before you, you did this. You endured the cross, despised the shame, and now you are seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for us. Thank you. So, Father, this evening we just pray that you would meet with us in a very special way, Lord, as we remember what Jesus has done for us. We commit this time into your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we can, you can open your Bibles to John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles along. And we'll be looking at some more scriptures as well here. Mostly what I want to do is just go down through John chapter 6 there and look at Jesus' words with those that he was interacting with there. One verse that we'll just look at to begin with here, and then we'll look at some other verses. Maybe in some other chapters here. There's some other books. Verse 55 of John chapter 6. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. You ever hear someone talk about after a good meal? Now that was food. So Jesus was talking with some people here that were following him because of some physical bread that he had filled their bellies with. And he told them, at the beginning of the chapter, that you are, or I shouldn't say the beginning, more like the middle. After the 5,000 had been fed and Jesus walked on the water there, then they came across the water as well with a boat looking for him, and he told them, you are seeking me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Your bellies were filled with the loaves. And he said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed. And so the rest of the chapter, Jesus goes on to talk to them about some real food that has real life in it, eternal life. Okay, back in Ephesians, there's a couple of verses I want to look at. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul speaking here, and I'll just read the first six verses here. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. You know, we live in an age that kind of, the message all around us is, have it your way now, if you will. Here Paul says, there's only one. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one body, one Spirit. So we're kind of, we get bombarded with this, and I think maybe it affects us more than we think. Kind of this, maybe almost this, have it your way Christianity. that message never came from Jesus. Jesus only ever pointed to the one way. It was always the way of the cross. The way of the cross. You know, daily carrying our cross, picking up our cross, denying ourselves, and following Jesus, opens up the possibility for resurrection life for you and I. And Jesus knew that, and so he only expressed that one way to life. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Being made conformable unto his death. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his suffering. Many would like the power of the resurrection without embracing the fellowship of his suffering. There's only one way to that power of the resurrection, that life. Embrace the fellowship of his suffering. Okay, some more passages here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul speaking again here to the Corinthians. Verse 14, and he's talking about, here he's talking about meat offered to idols. And verse 14, he says, he warns them, wherefore, my dearly beloved, chapter 10, verse 14, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And here he brings out this idea of only one body again. Same idea that we had read there in Ephesians. Verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Are you a partaker of that one bread? That one bread that has the ability to give life. That one bread that Jesus said, and we'll look at some more verses there in John chapter 6. that unless we eat it, we have no life. Unless we eat that bread. So we want to look at some at that some more. And you know, really, what does it mean to eat that bread and to drink that blood? He said, my bread or my flesh and my blood is meat and drink indeed. What does it mean to eat and drink of that blood and that flesh? So we'll skip over some verses there, down to, let's see, verse 21 there in chapter 10 of Corinthians. He says, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And then he just asks two questions. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? So, we have to choose one table or the other. And I know that it is each one of our hearts this evening to choose the table that gives life. The bread of life. The meat and drink that gives life. All right, now flipping over here into chapter 11. We'll jump over that first part of chapter 11 and going into very familiar passages here. Paul refers to the Last Supper there, verse 23 of chapter 11. And, well, let's just start reading right there, verse 23 of chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. It's pretty much a direct quote out of Matthew chapter 26 there. For as often as you do, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let every man do an honest examination of himself. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So Jesus, let's go back there to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, he says, let's see, many good verses here. There's one verse here that says something about, except you eat the flesh. Yes, verse 53. Jesus answered, the Jews asked, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So, how will we know whether we're eating or drinking? Eating and drinking, I should say, of this flesh and this blood. You know, we will look to something to for life, if you will, for sustenance. And it's pretty important that we discern what we're eating of. Because Paul said that if we're not discerning the Lord's body, he said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. So think about, you know, that favorite meal that you just really like, that afterward you feel so, energized and ready to go do whatever it takes to get the job done. You have, it was what you call real food. It was something that you really liked. Forget where I was going with that thought, but anyway. So, sustenance. That which gives life. How will we know if we're eating and drinking and discerning correctly what we're eating and drinking? So, being a part of the body of Christ. So those who are part of this one body that Paul was talking about back there in Ephesians, the one body, one faith, one God and Father of us all. Those who are part of that one body are the ones that are partaking of that one body. Is that right? That one body is becoming part of us. It's becoming who we are. All right, let's go and look at some more verses here in John chapter 6. Just some of the interaction here that Jesus had with the people here. So we already looked at verse 27. He said, don't labor for the meat that perishes. Verse 28, then said they unto them, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that believes on me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that has sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then the Jews murmured and said, because this, that he said that I'm the bread which came down from heaven, and they saw Jesus, but they really didn't understand who he was. They said, "Isn't this Jesus? Is not this the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says I came down from heaven?" Anyway, let's go on over to verse 40. 48. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." This is the bread which comes down from heaven. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So then the Jews asked the question, how can this man give us his flesh? How can he give us his flesh to eat? "Verily, verily," Jesus said, "I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." What does it mean to eat the flesh and drink the blood? So I guess let's just think through that a little bit. So if what I eat becomes a part of me, it becomes that which I live by. So Jesus further down in verse 58, he said that... I'll just read that. "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." There he says it again. "And after this, many of his disciples, when they heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." And they came face to face with the fact that we have to eat this man's flesh and drink this man's blood. Jesus said in verse 63, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And then on down it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and didn't go walk with him anymore. Then Jesus asked the 12, "Are you going to go away too?" And Simon Peter, he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Yes, he has the words of eternal life. So, you know, we say in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I wonder sometimes what we expect when we pray that prayer. How do you think, in what form will this bread come? You think it'll be on a gold platter? Or a silver platter or something like that. Have you ever had it to where you go throughout the day and then you face a hard situation and you have the opportunity to respond the way Jesus would respond? You have the opportunity to allow him to respond through you, and it's hard to do that. To allow his life to become a part of yours. You know, the enemy is when we come face to face with that bread, He's right there, ready to show us that other table. Say, you can have this one now. You can have this bread now and pay later. Many times we shy away from the bread because it's too costly. The price is too high. And like Paul was writing there in Corinthians, you can't partake of the table of the devil and the table of the Lord. And there's the table of the devil, and his price is affordable right now. But later, when it comes time to pay, it won't be affordable. But he doesn't tell us that. He tries to convince us that it's affordable right now. Have it your way now. So, discerning the Lord's body, how do we do that? Am I willing to pay the price of partaking of that bread, drinking of that blood? You know, in order to do that, I really have to see what it's worth. So when I shy away from it, am I really seeing what it's worth? Am I really seeing the value of it? Back there in Ephesians, you know, walk worthy, walk in a manner worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called. Do we see the calling that we have been called to? Do we see that? Is that a high calling in our mind? Maybe we don't see that very high. Maybe that's why we sometimes don't walk in a manner that shows that. So we have a common thing that brings us together here. It's that one table. That one table that if a man eats thereof, he shall not die. If a man drinks thereof, he shall not die. So when we partake of this bread at a communion time like this, we're showing forth the Lord's death. What is the rest of our life showing throughout the week? You know, Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on throughout the week. Are we walking in a way that is showing that we are walking worthy of the calling that we've been called to, that we see the value of the calling? Are we partaking of that bread? You know, partaking of the bread daily, every day. Give me this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Partaking of that bread every day. And even though it's costly, that makes this time very special. We're coming together to remember. All right, well, maybe we could just look at... Actually, I guess we should just open it up here, shouldn't we? Maybe some of you all have some thoughts or just want to express maybe ways in which you have eaten of this bread and where it has cost you. Maybe ways in which you just want to thank God for this bread. Brother Paul preached that beautiful sermon this morning on the blood. Are you grateful for the blood this evening? My flesh and my blood are meat and drink indeed. Thank you, Lord. You know, this time is a time for sharing together and remembering. So we just want to open it up. You can raise your hand if you have something you want to share, testimony, a short testimony of thanksgiving. And some of you, if you have not been a part of a communion time here before and you would like to do so, you've made prior arrangements. It's open for you if you have made prior arrangements here with one of the elders, and all of you who are members, you're welcome. And just join in. So is there someone that would have something you would like to share?
About a month ago, I started thinking about the communion service for several different communion services. And I guess I started just asking myself, what makes me worthy of communion or heaven? Why do we call this a celebration? And obviously, I come back to the fact that it's nothing I've done. It's nothing I haven't done. Mm-hmm. But when my Heavenly Father looks at me, He sees that Jesus' blood covering me. And it's because of that mm-hmm. that we call this a celebration. Mm-hmm. And some of you probably know that I live about 2 hours south of here. And occasionally something happens with people I know or something I'm thinking about, and my travel time becomes kind of singing time or prayer time or some kind of worship time. And I was traveling about a month ago back to Delaware. Words of a song kind of overwhelmed me in a way, and this song, I want to read part of the words. The song was "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." And third verse says, "I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection." It's part of what I think about, how I want to live or a life goal, that I want to glorify God and make Him look good. Then the question, why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. Mm-hmm. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. So His blood's all I have.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I gain from His reward. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Travis. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood. Yes. Someone over here? Okay, go ahead.
Some years ago, the first verse of Romans 5 jumped out at me. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And at that time, I didn't believe that those words would include me, mm-hmm. that I would be justified by faith, that it wouldn't take anything else.
Yeah.
And now I can say that I know that I'm justified by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And as I think of partaking in communion, mm-hmm. realizing that that is, in a sense, a commitment to being part of the fellowship of suffering,
mm-hmm.
not in any way earning it, but simply being willing to step into that communion.
Yeah.
With Jesus mm-hmm. and with His body.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that as someone who believes in Christ, as the one who paid for my sins,
mm-hmm.
and all that He did for me, it's my desire to, as best I can and as best I know, live each day in obedience to His word.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that, is my desire also to have communion tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not from here, but I happen to be here tonight, so I'd like to.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Ammon, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I too am very grateful for the blood of Jesus. Just looking back, there was the early part of my walk with Christ was quite challenging because I failed to see the simplicity in just believing and having faith that Christ's blood was sufficient. And so I'm just rejoicing that sometimes the gospel is a lot simpler than what we make it.
Yes.
And yeah, that I can just simply believe and allow my life to be there to be an outflow from my life from Christ. And I don't have to do that to be accepted by Him. So I'm very grateful that I can be here this evening and be a part of this time of remembrance and rejoicing in Christ together.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, someone in the back. Go ahead.
This morning when Paul was talking about how we come to God, of seeing Him, like just coming to Him based off of our good works, or even just off of having a good week of in our devotionals or whatever. And that really struck me because I see myself as that. And also then on weeks where I feel like I don't have a playing relationship of kind of slinking back and not seeing Him as a loving Father. Mm-hmm. And just of how He was talking about coming to God only through the blood of Christ. I really appreciated that. And I see that as the only way I can come to Him. And what she was sharing about Romans 5:1 of being justified by faith, the verse right after that says that through faith we have also obtained access to Him and into this grace, and have come into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And I really like that of standing in grace. And I would say that's my testimony of where I am. I'm standing in God's grace.
Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm so thankful for God's work in my life. And even though it hasn't always been easy, I can truly say Jesus is my best friend.
Thank you, Lord. Is there someone else?
I'm not new, but it's good to be here again. It's been a while. So I just thank God for what He's done. I was reading Colossians the other day, and it was talking about how He took the sins and the charges that were against us and nailed them to His cross. And that way He publicly shamed authorities and triumphed over them in front of everyone. And I was like, wow, that's amazing that He used like my sin to publicly gain glory somehow. But yeah, I just agree with what was already said. Like, I thank Christ and know that without Him, I have nothing. So yeah, appreciate you all as well. I'm glad to be here again.
I would just like to praise God for what He has done in my life and what He is continuing to do. I've experienced like a lot of breaking and growing in the last few months, and I'm extremely grateful for that, and I'm excited to see where He'll take me from here. And I'm also very excited about taking communion with you all.
Yes, there's one more there in the middle, in the back.
Yeah, just so thankful to be here tonight, and I just appreciate the sweet message we had tonight. And Psalms 103, there's a verse there, soon in the beginning, where it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits." I'm really pondering on that lately, and I just see, reminded of that again tonight. That is one of the biggest benefits in my life at this point, just to be part of a body, a local body, that still desires to lift up Jesus and to practice the commands that He left back for us. And as we think of communion here tonight, I highlighted that one line here that Abner spoke about, that we commune daily. And that's the bread and the blood is the life that we read in the Bible. And I can say tonight, it is well with my soul, and as much as I know, I have nothing against a fellow brother or sister here, and I just desire to take communion with you tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'm also just so thankful for the blood of Jesus and the work he's done in my life and continues to do, and I just would like to partake in communion tonight and also appreciate the body here.
The Apostle Paul said there, and I read one verse earlier, verse 10 in Philippians 3, but verse 8 he says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." See, that's when we come up to that table, when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread," and then we are faced with that bread, we can have it if we're willing to lose everything else. Then we can partake. It's ours, freely, when we let go of everything else. Thank you, Lord. We can win Christ. All right. Did we miss anyone? Is there anyone else that would like to share yet? Okay, I don't see anyone. Well, Jesus, that very night that he was betrayed, facing the cross, ready to give the rest of what he had, all, everything. He took that bread and that cup, and he shared together with his disciples. And he was very much looking forward to this with desire, with great desire. This was really meaningful to Jesus. All his life, he had been embracing the way of the cross all his life. And this was really, really meaningful. I mean, it had significant meaning to him. The more we embrace him, the more meaningful this becomes. So Jesus, he took that bread and broke it. Maybe we'll just do that right now. He took that bread and he broke it and he blessed it. Shall we stand? Why don't we just stand and we can thank God. So Jesus, said, "This is my blood. This is my blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant, Brother Paul, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Father, we just do come before you this evening in Jesus' name. And there is no other name given among men whereby we can be saved. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you that you embraced the cross this evening. We just want to thank you. And we want to remember how that you walked the way of the cross. You suffered. And you gave it all. And you allowed your body to become broken. You allowed your blood to be spilled out. For this. And, you know, let it be shed. You let it be shed for the removing, for the remission of our sins. Thank you, Lord. Father, this evening we just give you thanks for the precious blood of Jesus. We give you thanks for the broken body of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you allowed yourself to become broken for us. And now, Lord Jesus, we want to embrace You. And we want to walk the way You walked. And here we are tonight, coming together, just remembering the way You walked this way of life. You came not to do Your own will. You never once did Your own will. You always did the will of the Father. Lord Jesus, it seems to me like that is how we walk the path of eating bread every day. We always do the will of the Father. And it costs us every day to do that, just like it did Jesus. And we become a partaker. We enter into the fellowship of His sufferings. So Lord, help us to do that in our everyday life, Lord. And tonight we're just coming together to remember that Jesus has paid the price in full, has shed His blood, and His body He allowed to become broken for us. And we give You thanks for this. As we partake here, Lord, help us just to give You thanks from the depths of our heart, and show us, Lord Jesus, how we can embrace You more in our everyday lives.
On the same night that Jesus was betrayed, He brought us communion, the first communion, to the Christians, Jesus' followers, His disciples. There's something else He did that same night, and that's what we want to look at now. If you want to follow after, it's in John 13, in the beginning of the chapter. John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, feet washing was not something that was unusual at this place and this time. But there was something very different about this feet washing. It was after supper. Usually when He came into the house from the outside, dirt and that, the servants, the slaves washed the guests, the masters, the ordinary people in some ways. They washed their feet. But this was different. It was after supper. And it's very different that Jesus, the Lord and Master, Creator of the universe, was now taking the form of the position of a servant, of a slave. And Jesus showed clearly how He loved His disciples unto the end, having loved them unto the end. When He saw His death coming on the cross, His mind was, yes, occupied with other things than normal, but He had time to love His disciples unto the end, and this is where He loved His own that were yet in the world unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God, and that He went to God, He rises from supper and laid aside His garment. His garment, the garment that a guest would have, and put on the garment a servant or a slave would have, and took a towel and girded Himself, and after that He had poured water into a basin something that a slave did, something that a servant did, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was girded. Then cometh he unto Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Truly, Peter didn't understand what was happening at this point. Probably none of the others also understand what was really happening. But Peter at least spoke up. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Yes, he's going to understand later. He's maybe going to explain it here, but he's also going to see it later. Did Jesus wash Judas' feet to teach us how to love our enemies? I believe he did. Peter says unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He wanted to not be turned away, but have a part with the Lord. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere. And ye are clean, but not all. And it explains who Jesus was speaking of when he said they're not all clean. They have not all are free. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after that he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down, again he saith unto them, Know you what I have done unto you? No, they didn't really know. But he's going to teach them something. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. We're going to practice this here shortly, washing one another's feet. There was one in that group, really more than one, Judas and Jesus, who it was their last time. And maybe wash one another's feet. Because like it may be our last time. Because it may be. We don't know. For I have given unto you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I think a writer says it well. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you don't do them, something is missing. Could it be humility? That's certainly what Jesus was teaching. Some may spiritualize this. It is something here Jesus did in the physical, but I'm sure there was a spiritual meaning behind it. Baptism is something we do outwardly, physically, because of something that has happened spiritually inward. And washing another's, one another's feet is something we do physically outward, because spiritually we realize at the foot of the cross is level. We're not greater than our brother. In humility we bow down and wash one another's feet. Jesus taught us that. And it's not something that we do just once or twice a year. It may be something we do physically once or twice a year, but spiritually we have the privilege, the opportunity to wash one another's feet sometimes daily, somewhere, someone. And can maybe do now physically what Jesus has taught us, and maybe do it in the spirit throughout the year. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.